Page 94, the Private Eye podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Page 94. This is an extremely exciting one. Behind me, there are dozens, maybe hundreds, of brilliant journalists, of whom six have been shortlisted for this year's Paul Foot Award in memory of the late, great campaigning journalist, Paul Foot. We're about to find out which of those journalists has won this year's award. So without further ado, over to the magazine's editor, Ian Hislop.
It's been a very, very bizarre year, and journalism must feel this. The implosion of the Labour Party, war in the Middle East, the rise of right-wing parties, a toxic split in the British public, and an economic crisis. Looking back at the stuff Paul wrote for Private Eye, I mean, he would have coped with all of this. None of it would have surprised him. And the important thing about Paul is that he would not have despaired, particularly not about journalism. Paul was, for those who don't really know, and imagine he was writing about the time of the Boer War, he worked for a long time for the Daily Mirror and for Private Eye. And the first thing I did when I was editor was get him back on the team. He was a great friend of Richard Ingram's and Christopher Booker. They were all at school together, and they were that early Private Eye team. What Paul brought was the focus on journalism. If you look at how much he wrote about Lockerbie, for example, the air crash and then the fake terrorism story and the consequent fallout, the inflected blood scandal, Paul wrote about that. There's yet another review of it last week. None of this goes away. Miscarriages. I was reading his Scott report, the arms to Iraq. Would you believe it? Britain was exporting arms to a Middle East country and not admitting it. Certainly wouldn't happen now. Jonathan Aitken, his obsessive campaign against him, again, which ended with a win. The great sword of justice was blunted, and Aitken had to apologise, give up, and then he went to jail. The great thing about Paul, though, he took all this stuff incredibly seriously. But he wanted journalism to be fun and for it to be enjoyable and life-enhancing. And I remember with Jonathan Aitken, he'd sued us, we were in serious trouble. And I said, I'm thinking of putting in a fake apology. Paul thought it was funny and said, why don't you put it in? We did put it in. Jonathan Aitken didn't think it was funny. he renewed a claim for exemplary damages, which he may well have got. I don't remember the end of the story. The point of the story is that the great thing about Paul, and it's the reason the prize is named after him, is he was passionate about journalism, but he wanted it to be entertaining, and he knew that to get people to read a story, particularly a story of any length, it had to be entertaining, accessible, and worth reading. And Paul, he could make you sad, he could make you furious, he could make you laugh, and he could make you care, which is quite difficult nowadays, and particularly when he was presenting his stuff to me. So what I'm going to do is announce the winner, invite them to come up and get their check, and then invite all of the people on the shortlist. So this is the moment, the Paul Foot Awards 2026 goes to Peter Gagan and Khadija Shari.
So here we are with the winner of this year's Paul Foot Award, Peter Gagan. Congratulations, Peter.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Would you like to thank God, the Academy?
I'd like to thank, I'd like to thank all the wonderful people I worked with to tell these stories. First and foremost, someone who's not here, which is Khadija Sharif, who is my co-author with so many of these pieces. If it wasn't for Khadija, this story would never have been told, and certainly not in the way it was told. So that was absolutely, couldn't happen otherwise. And obviously a huge thanks to everybody at Private Eye and all the judges and everybody else who took the time to go through a story like that, who also listened to a contribution from, we're a newsletter, we're a small website, there's only three of us. To be able to punch at the same level as some of these incredible stories is just, it's phenomenal.
Nothing for Keir Starmer in your thanks, without whom?
Well, well, maybe a small thanks to Josh Simons, without whom we wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be standing here. The voters of Makerfield wouldn't be going to the polls in a couple of weeks' time. So maybe it's all down to Josh.
Maybe, maybe. Now, the other thing we should say, which we didn't say when we first interviewed you, this is not your first time on the shortlist for the Paul Foote Award. It's time number...
It's
time number three.
So I'm number three. So I was, yeah, I think I'm, my experience at the Paul Foote Awards is a good example of, you know, fail and fail better, as my compatriot Samuel Beckett once said. Back in, I think, 2018, maybe 2019, myself and my colleague Jenna Corduroy were long-listed for an investigation we did into Aaron Banks. Whatever happened to him? Oh, actually, yes, yeah, you know, who would have known? And a few years later, we were shortlisted, myself and Jenna, Lucas Amin, were shortlisted for an investigation into the Cabinet Office's Freedom of Information Clearinghouse, how they were, you might remember that story,
yes,
how they were suppressing FOIs from journalists, campaigners and others. Yeah. And also that year, I was also shortlisted with The Guardian as part of their investigations I've been doing with them into COVID corruption and PPE lanes, as people might remember as well. So
your fourth time on the shortlist, really.
Yeah, so fourth time lucky.
There we go. This shows the importance of perseverance in journalism.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, congratulations again, Peter. It's a terrific story. We'll find out the results very soon, in a wider sense. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Andy. Thank you.
That's it for this year's Paul Foote Award. We'll be back in a year with another one, and we'll be back tomorrow with another regular episode of the Private Eye podcast recorded from the Hay Festival. Bye for now.